Devin is on the phone. You might know Devin from a little movie called, Home Alone. And he played Buzz. Hey, Devin.
Hello there. So, that song brings a lump to my throat.
Does it really? Or is it just
in my underwear, too.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, same here. I have to watch this movie every year. It's not Christmas unless I watch it.
Why wait till Christmas? Start watching it in April.
Well, that's true. I could do that. It's my birthday in April, so I can definitely start there. So
it's a good birthday film as well.
I just finished watching The Movies That Made Us, and it was really incredible that this movie even exists, because they had to jump so many hurdles to get this movie made.
That is absolutely true.
How old were you when you started acting?
I was 6 years old when I started acting.
Oh, wow.
My first feature film was 7. My first starring role in a sitcom, a network sitcom, was 11. And my first number one all-time family Christmas film of all time was when I was 13.
Now, was acting something that... Because your parents are actors. Was it something that they kind of forced you into, or was it something that you enjoyed and that you picked up because you saw them do it?
I've thought about it. I've been asked that before just by friends, and it really is, something that both my parents did. Like, it was a fluke how I got started. One of our neighbors my building was a casting director looking for a 6-year-old boy for a newspaper commercial, and they asked if the casting director asked my parents if they knew anyone. I said, "Well, we do know someone," I auditioned for the film, for the commercial. The next 18 auditions that I went for, I got 12 of the 18 commercials, cool. It always just fit in for me. It was never really like a dilemma. It just fit naturally, and I found out that I get to miss school and make money doing it.
Right.
So I was totally, I was like, wow, this is pretty intense. I get money, which I didn't really have a concept of at that time, but like, it made my parents happy, and yeah, I get to miss school. So totally good with that. And it was always a natural fit. It didn't seem odd or unusual. I went to my father's dressing room, when he was on Broadway, and I saw my dad like putting on, like mascara and like makeup. And I was like, what are you doing? Cause in my mind, that's what girls do.
Right.
And he's like, no, we have to do this for people on stage. People in the back of the theater have to see, you have to emphasize this. And so I sort of grew up understanding that there was a facade, a whole different world of acting as opposed to real life. There was real life, and then there was the acting life. And it, once, I saw a camera, a movie camera or something, that I understood, oh, okay, this is now, the acting world, and this is now a job. And it was a concept that, I don't know, I guess it's mostly because I'm kind of like, I must have been a child genius. I assume that I'm a...
You and me both.
You assume that I'm one too.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
No, great minds, they
great
say
minds
great minds think like me.
Right.
They think like me. So it always sort of felt natural, and I knew the difference. Like, I never got confused about, like, that's my TV mommy, but she doesn't look like my real mommy. Like, I was able to understand the difference and
right,
say, okay, this is a job, this is a profession. And it was fun, and it was a way for me to grow and learn. Like, I was aware of learning and watching other, like, adults and how they behaved on the set and how they acted, quote unquote. And
right,
it was easy for me. I mean, I guess I'd never been 7 years old before, and this is my first time on a film set, and I was 7, and I didn't have any problems.
Right.
So it seemed easy enough.
How did your life change after Home Alone? Was it noticeable, or did you...
My parents successfully tried to keep me as grounded as possible.
Right.
And to keep me out of the pitfalls and traps and the spotlight. And they were a little too successful at it, I believe. I was not aware of my life changing very much at all. I wasn't even allowed to go to the premiere of Home Alone 2 in Chicago because I was in New York and they didn't want me missing school. Like, it was school first and normal life first. Mm. And if I was lucky enough to get a job, then I would go do that. But, you know, if I fell behind in my studies, you know, my parents would, you know, threaten to say, you know, you're not going to be doing this anymore. Like, this is a privilege that you have to accept,
right,
and rise to the occasion and be responsible for. And that was always the way that it was. And I have not, it's actually only until my adult life where I started to become aware of how Home Alone had affected everyone else.
Right.
You know, family.
You were kind of sheltered from all that.
Yes, very much so. I knew that it was a really popular movie and I knew that it was on every year and people really liked it. But this was also, you know, before social media. This was before Facebook, Instagram, yada, yada, yada. So there was an era before social media of isolation in terms of if you didn't seek out this fame or fake celebrity, as I call it, then you know, I was not aware of it. And not until people were reaching out to me on social media from Norway, Finland, and South Africa, where I started to realize, like, oh, wow, this film has had an impact on people, and this film has affected people's memories of the holidays and their families.
Right.
And my role has deeply affected them one way or another. How many countless people have had older siblings that have traumatized them in one way or another?
Right.
And
you personified that.
I absolutely did. Right. I realized that I was the physical representation of a lot of people's memories of their families or of their sort of nightmare versions of families. Even if they didn't have a bullying older brother, they still, you know, knew that they were supposed to hate me as a kid. And they were still supposed to, why is he so mean to, you know, poor little Kev? And a lot of that translated when they would meet me. A lot of people would say, "Ooh, I hated you when I saw you on TV." And I said, "Thank you very much, miss. I appreciate that." No, I hated you. Why was you so mean? Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, that's a character, and, you know, I have to explain. Like, there is a disassociation that people have of not really separating character from actor.
I know you guys.
I think it's a form of mental instability.
Actually. I think so too. I would 100% agree with you on that. Now, I know you guys did two movies together, and, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you guys work together, you do the job, you end, you move on to the next project. But with something as big as Home Alone, do you guys still keep in touch? Is there anybody from the movie that you still talk with?
At this point, I mean, 30 years down the line, we have gone our separate ways. Interesting. I was shooting the network show Russian Doll, Natasha Lyonne's show Russian Doll. Natasha Lyonne, by the way, her first film was John Hughes' Dennis the Menace that I did with her.
I love that movie.
So that, me too. That was a connection where we were brought back from our childhood memories to adult life working together. And on the crew, Mike Marona popped out of nowhere on the set of Russian Doll. Mike Marona played one of the brothers, my brother. His line, "Kevin, you're such a disease." The redheaded younger actor.
Wasn't he on Pete and Pete, The Adventures of Pete and Pete?
Pete? That's right. Yes, Pete and Pete. Now he has since developed a very good career in the crew. I think he was doing lighting and grip work. I'm not positive of his position, but he literally popped out of nowhere on the set. Like, "Hey, Dev." And I instantly recognized him and I couldn't believe it. So there was a slight John Hughes reunion there between Natasha, Mike, and I. And that was, you know, we got to catch up briefly because we were shooting on the set. But we do, you know, actors, like, I mean, it is a job, and you do move on. I mean, traveling salesmen, for example, you know, don't really run into each other that much.
Right, they do the job in, you know, Illinois or whatever, and that's it. And they move on.
Yeah.
So you mean Mac hasn't asked you to be on his Bunny Ears podcast? Because I think that would be a great Christmas episode of Bunny Ears if you guys all kind of got together for that.
Well, you know, I'm all ears. I'm certainly open for options of that. He has not asked me yet. No, that is
we'll
correct.
Tweet, but we'll, I think that we'll start at change.org. We'll make that happen.
On Instagram anyway.
Yeah. So rumor has it that they are rebooting Home Alone. Disney is. Do you have any thoughts on that, or do you don't care whatsoever?
I adore the Home Alone franchise, which is now becoming legacy. It is now going to be, you know, reincarnated in a sense and give life to perhaps, you know, memories of, for generations for the next 30 years. You know, who knows? It is, you know, it's a privilege to be a part of the original, and, there's certainly possibilities for the upcoming one. Yes.
Are you distant enough now from Home Alone to where you can watch the movie and you can watch it like us, like a normal person, or do you watch it and you think about, oh, I remember
Absolutely
shooting this
not.
Scene and all that stuff?
Definitely not. I cannot watch it as a normal person. I will. It's an impossibility. Watching it is, it's odd. I mean, it truly is odd. It's just going through like a dream that you had, you know, and like, oh, I remember this part of the dream and this part of the dream, but I'm remembering each scene that we're watching from, you know, inside the living room.
Right.
Like you watch the scene of us in the so-called, you know, when we're in the house in France, and the scene that I have with Hilary Wolf where we're watching It's a Wonderful Life in French.
You want the moon,
French,
man?
And, aren't you?
Right.
You're right. You know, aren't you worried about him? And I say, no, here are the reasons. A to B. You know, I give that speech. Like, you know, I understood, like, I know that that was actually shot in the French embassy in Chicago, downtown Chicago.
Oh, was it really? I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes. And I'm looking at it, at the scene, like, remembering sitting in that chair, looking at the camera and looking at Julio Metcalf, the cinematographer, you know, filming. And, you know, I'm remembering a conversation that Chris Columbus, the director, had with me while everyone else is just watching the scene. So it's like truly like, it's sort of like being inside the Matrix, watching something happening. Like I see all the three dimensional aspect of it from inside. Inside the house,
like,
you know, I know
experience.
That the house,
right,
the Home Alone house, was built inside a gymnasium in high school. You know, the airplane. Like I remember walking through. I didn't have any scenes in the airplane, but that airplane cabin was right by the bleachers in a high school in Winnetka, Illinois.
That's so.
So these
cool
memories that I have, that's what I associate with when I watch the movie. So it's not at all.
It's like very distracting,
like a normal movie.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a question real quick. So one of the stars of that movie is actually the house.
Right.
I took a trip to Chicago in 99 with my parents, and my mom, she was adamant about actually seeing that house.
I'm going to see it next month.
In Winnetka, Illinois.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of curious of like how much you actually shot at the house that was. I mean, I know you just said it was in a high school gymnasium, like the interior shots. But I mean, obviously they got footage of, you know, Macaulay Culkin walking around setting traps outside. But how much was actually shot in that house, or was it pretty much all the interiors done at that gym?
Pretty much, without exception, well, no, with exception, anything inside the house was not shot in the house.
Wow, okay.
Anything clearly, now without exception, outside the house was shot in the at the location, at the house.
Okay.
The only times that affected me, like we went to the house, was when the family was running out the doors to the airport vans.
Okay.
Which we then redid. I mean, we did that twice. we did that during Home Alone 2. And we rehearsed. What actually brought us in to rehearse on a Saturday morning in February, in Winnetka, it's freezing cold, snowing.
Right.
We're wondering why we have to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning to rehearse, running out of the house into the airport vans. And that just happened to be the day that Michael Jackson decided to show up on the set to say hello.
Wow.
To
how cool is that?
Yeah. And I just, you know, happened to have brought my video camera because I was making my own documentary because I was an auteur, 15-year-old filmmaker, of course.
I hope he introduced himself as Macaulay's friend.
Similarly, Macaulay, like when we got out of our van, Mac was already on the set and like rushed through everyone, pushed people aside and grabbed my hand and says, Def, come here, I'll bring your camera. I want you to meet somebody.
By the way, what a great Macaulay impression, by the way. Very spot on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's how he said it and I'll remember it forever. And he didn't tell me what I was doing or who I was meeting or anything. He, Mr. Jackson, was actually just sitting in the back of one of the airport vans, the prop vans that we were supposed to all get into. And Max just kind of like thrust me, like pulled me to the doorway of the van. And there was Michael Jackson, you know, with his, you know, curls and the sunglasses and the fedora hat. And I was a little bit in awe. He did introduce himself by saying, "Oh, hey, I'm Michael. It's really nice to meet you." And I, of course, shook his hand without the glove. And I said, yes, Michael Jackson, it is very nice to meet me. It's extraordinarily nice to meet me. You must be so happy to meet me. That was a surreal moment. Of course, he was very polite. You know, that was my association with the house. We frankly only shot there a couple of days, one or two, in fact, for both movies combined. Of course, the house is iconic. And see, at the time that we were shooting the first one, that was the house, like, oh, great, we're shooting at the house from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Right.
And that's what we thought was, you know, so cool. You know, we're shooting at that house. And then, of course, it became the iconic John Hughes go-to house.
Right.
Well, Devin, man, I appreciate you taking the time to reminisce with us on, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time. By the way, I saw you're a voice in Red Dead Redemption. One of the voices. I'm sure I ran over you at some point with my horse. I apologize. But do you get a free copy of the game if you do a voice?
You know, I don't. No, I don't. And I want one. Like I had to.
It's
I
a great
to
game
for Christmas.
Yeah, well, I'll get it for you. You know,
yeah, it's a great game.
And your birthday's coming up. I just saw January 11th. Correct. I have devinstockers.com if you want to. And I know everything about
either
you. Yeah.
Either you have ESP or you have some good stocking skills.
Just ESPN. That's all I have. ESPN Plus, actually.
Got you.
Awesome, man. Well, man, I appreciate your time. Like I said, I know you got 100 things going on. It's you know, it's Christmas, but I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Hope you have a happy birthday and a Merry Christmas.
It has been my pleasure, and I'm glad I got to take the time to talk to you guys. And I thank you very much, and I hope that you have a Merry Christmas. And I hope you have a great my birthday. And yes, it is January 11th. So be sure to send me a copy of Red Dead Redemption 2 because I don't have one yet.
I will do it. If you get online, I will play in a posse with you. I'm posse. My posse name is Blue Balls.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
now, what if
there's some deeper things with that?
What if I play the game as a character and I run into myself?
Mm.
Wow. What would I do? It's like confronting yourself. Would I shoot myself? Would I help myself?
See?
Wow.
I want to be there with you when you figure that out.
Yeah, this is going to be a whole new era of my career. I've never confronted myself in a video game. I wonder
in fact,
what
we're
I would
call,
say
we're,
to myself.
We're going
to
call this Courting Devin and on Red Dead Redemption 2. That's what we're going to do. Merry Christmas,
well,
man.
I look forward to it.
I appreciate your time.
Merry Christmas, and keep the change, you filthy animals.
Thank you, Devin.